So remember a couple of weeks ago when I told y'all about Purpose at Steppenwolf? Yeah, that's the play everybody's been talking about, not just me. The one showcasing the drama of a fictional Black Chicago family full of esteemed civil rights leaders, pastors, and congresspeople. Yeah, now we're on the same page. Well, people have been raving about it so much that the run has been extended again through mid-May. The Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, and the Trib have all given Purpose 4 stars, with the Trib calling it the birth of a truly great new Chicago play. So, don't wait to go see it. The show must close May 12th, and tickets start at $20 at steppenwolf.org. That's steppenwolf.org. Today on CityCast Chicago, as I walk past the open fields and remaining row houses in the Cabrini Green neighborhood, on my left were about 140 rehab units, and on my right were roughly 450 abandoned units behind a fence. What's noticeable about the neighborhood is that there are dozens of sleek, new high-rises within view, but they're not the Cabrini Green high-rises. Those are long gone. Last week, we explored the history of Cabrini. Today, part two. What happened to the community after the city made plans to demolish it and made promises to the people who live there? It's Tuesday, February 1st. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago. Cabrini Green was once home to Italian immigrants, but starting in the 50s and 60s, it became primarily Black. The high-rises and row houses had close to 20,000 residents at one point. Cabrini Green was a community where neighbors looked out for each other, but disinvestment from the city led to disrepair and violence, and city leaders and developers were thirsty to scoop up the land between the affluent Gold Coast and downtown. The unofficial dismantling started in 1992, WBEZ reporter Natalie Moore told us last week.
In 1992, there's what's known as the shot that tore down Cabrini. There was a little boy named Dantrell Davis. He was killed by a bullet from a sniper who was aiming for a member of a rival gang. This was a huge story in the city. And it was, you know what, we got to tear these down. You know, someone with a sniper on one of these high rises did this. We have to change this.
Charles Price remembers that day.
I managed the building that Dantrell and his mother lived in, 50502 West Oak. So I came downstairs and I saw Ann walking Dantrell to school. And when the shots were fired, there's just something about, there's a sound that 30-06 makes. It whistles as it passes you.
Charles was a resident liaison at Cabrini and later a housing activist. He and others connected to the community joined us last weekend for a discussion based on the Better Government Association's recent investigation, Cabrini Green, A History of Broken Promises. Charles said he had warned his bosses at the Chicago Housing Authority that the violence needed to be addressed.
Like a week earlier, I did a memo. See, I'm working for CHA, saying that, hey, these upper floors are dangerous because the week before, I think 7 people got shot coming from the same high-rise where Dantrell got killed from. And they would board the window up, somebody would come behind them and take it down and shoot. And this went on constantly.
Alejandra Cancino was the reporter on the BGA's investigation. Alejandra said residents knew that the end was near for their home.
People are smart. They know what's happening. They know what happened before, and they can see it all around them. Every time you see the headline, every time you can see it in national news, you can see it on TVs, in 60 Minutes, there's reports, right? It's the drumbeat to like, what's going to happen? What are you going to do, Mr. Mayor, about Cabrini Green? And so we're in the 90s. This is Mayor Richard Daley, whose father was also mayor of Chicago. And he was under tremendous pressure to do something about Cabrini Green. It seemed that everything was aligning to wanting to really displace this community.
Then in 1996, Mayor Daley announces plans to tear down Cabrini.
This is the largest transformation of public housing in the world. No one else wanted to tackle this issue because it's very complex and it's very difficult and deals mostly with poverty people.
I was just wondering, how do you think we feel about like the community, like the buildings being torn down?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of sentiment here, let's be realistic, of public high rising, but in the long run, public high rises will be taken down all over the country. They're being taken down, and we have to work completely different program. We isolated the poor, we isolated them from their churches and everything else, and now we have to basically not isolate them, they have to become part of a community.
But take it like this, if you grew up in Cabrini Green, would you want them to take your memories?
Yeah, but oh yeah, memories are always stated within the mind. But everybody changes. Every community has changed in Chicago. You can't live in the past. No one lives in the past. Thank you.
After that press conference, there was a landmark lawsuit, the 1996 lawsuit, asking to be at the table. The residents wanted to be at the table and wanted to be a part of what the future would be for Cabrini Green. And in 1997, which is how we opened the story, really, is there was this community meeting where the mayor sent some of the well-known Black politicians to Cabrini Green to tell them what the plan was going to mean. And it didn't go well.
Everybody here want to know about the plan? Okay. Can we please, let's give them an opportunity to show what's happening in the plan.
Anything that they want to discuss, they can discuss those issues right here.
Y'all need to keep your asses in and make your own plan.
That was 96, but then Mayor Daley comes out and makes more promises to the residents again in 1999 when he promises people whoever wants to stay in the community can stay. Alejandra explains how the promises from the city to residents keep coming throughout the 90s.
So what we ended up doing with the investigation was tracking. I wanted to know the promises, right? How do we track them? So we track whether or not people were able to return. You know, it's been 25 years since then. How much money we've spent, and the jobs, whether or not construction jobs were actually, the 2,500 construction jobs that were promised to people were actually delivered. What we found is that, this is based on CHRA's own tracking, that less than 20% of the people that were, when Mayor Daley said, like, anyone who wants to come back will be able to come back, actually have returned to Cabrini Green or at some point returned to Cabrini Green, the new Cabrini Green, right? Like the new community that was built there. With the rest, we have about 400 people that the CHA cannot track. They have lost them. They don't know where they are. We have another 100, 600 people or so who moved elsewhere in the city using a voucher. We have people who have given up, people who have died. We still have 85 people in the list waiting to come back to Cabrini Green today, 25 years later.
So residents were told they could come back, but many didn't. And it cost taxpayers a lot of money.
We have used already more than $1.4 billion redeveloping Cabrini Green. That is public money that has gone to the creation of the beautification of parks, for a public walkway along the river, for this, what we call mixed income communities, right? So apartments in which you have really wealthy people living next to public housing residents. And that has all been created with public dollars. And there is another $600 million that were allocated last year to finish the construction of Cabrini Green because it's taken so long and it's not done yet. The number of Public housing units that were promised to residents have not been delivered.
Anyone who wasn't in Chicago before 2011, when the last Cabrini-Green high-rise fell, may not even know that was public housing. Now it's just like any other gentrified neighborhood, with a Starbucks, Groupon headquarters, and of course, a Target.
And the Target is actually important because that was the land where public house, one of Cabrini-Green towers used to be where the Target is today. So the CHA swapped the land with Target. They got land slightly north of their Target, had land that was not continuous. It was broken down by a couple of streets, and the store wanted one continuous piece of land to be able to build the store. So they swapped the land and they told residents that not only that we're going to get jobs, so to get them to be okay with this swap, but also that the CHA was going to build more public housing units in the land that they had swapped. So the public housing units have not been built, and the number of jobs that were promised to residents did not materialize in the ways that were promised.
So this is what former residents talk about when they talk about displacement. It was nearly impossible to come back to the community. You couldn't work in the community. You didn't get jobs to help redevelop the community, so people left. People that longtime resident Carol Steele lived next to. People she built a community with and fought alongside for more rights to decide what would happen to her community. They were just gone.
75% of the people from Chicago Avenue, North Avenue, I knew, you know, so it was heartbreaking, you know. We asked people to stay, you know, they got scared off. They went after all the other developments, and eventually they came back for Cabrini-Green.
So now, 25 years after the first promises were made to Cabrini-Green residents, there are still questions about what's next.
So the alderman of the ward, Alderman Burnett, we asked to sit down with him, and he declined to speak with us in the record, as did Mayor Lightfoot and the housing commissioner and the CHA's leader, Tracy Scott. But they all, when the additional $600 million were approved, and the $600 million come in something called a TIF, Tax Increment Financing, which is a special taxing district that essentially will help pay for the development there. So they promised that money will be used to fulfill the promises made to residents 25 years ago. So what exactly will happen with this $600 million? What will happen with the row houses? They had initially promised that 100% of the row houses would be public housing, and they have since walked back that promise. Now residents are fighting for just hopefully up to 40% of the row houses to be public housing. There are a number of public or of empty parcels of land. Residents in the community want them to be green spaces for parks. But there is still hundreds of public housing units that were promised that have not been developed at a time in which the city is facing one of the worst affordable housing crises that it's undergone. So I think that this is a time for residents to continue to question their leaders. What will happen with the money and who will benefit from that money going forward? Now that we know that the promises were broken, now, what do we do with that knowledge going forward?
We have a link in our show notes to the Better Government Association's investigation, Cabrini-Green, A History of Broken Promises. We also have a link to our first episode about the Cabrini community. Some of the clips you heard were from the documentary 70 Acres in Chicago, directed by Ronit Bezalel. Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. Five synagogues and Jewish businesses and one school in West Rogers Park were targeted with anti-Semitic vandalism over the weekend. The mayor said one person is being held in connection with the vandalism and that the city will work to hold all responsible accountable. Holocaust Remembrance Day was last Thursday. The National Weather Service expects us to get hella snow over the next couple of days starting tonight. They're calling it a two-punch threat that could drop over a foot of snow across the city. And some good news to get you through. The good news is we got a dope-ass newsletter every morning for you. Seriously, today is Chinese New Year. Know where you can find events? The newsletter. Valentine's Day is coming up. Want to read and submit your Chicago love stories? the newsletter. It's Black History Month all month. Want celebrations? The newsletter. It's the best in the city, y'all. Subscribe at chicago.citycast.fm/newsletter. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace. Before I let you go, the world has some news for you.